This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Thank you, our Father. Thank you for assurance. Thank you for assurance. Thank you for your word. Thank you, for we have a more sure word of prophecy. Oh, we are grateful, Jesus. We are grateful, Jesus, for assurance that comes our way, to our hearts. Every time we gather, every time we hear you speak, we know that these things are possible. These things are faithful. These things are true in you, and they will be true in us also. Thank you, our Father. Thank you, Jesus. We are grateful, for in Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Amen. Amen. Good evening, everyone. We have three persons reviewing tonight. We are still going on with our Way of the Arts SM Flex 2025. You know, my experience. Sister Inye, can you be a blessing to us?
Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, pastors. But listening to the message, I felt God actually wanted me to listen to that message again, because of recent, I've been in a space where I've been asking questions, and that message kind of brought strength again, brought faith to my heart again. We're reviewing Pastor Tosin's message, the last day, the grand finale message, and one thing stood out for me in that message, and it was like the Lord was shouting it to my head: you can be free. Freedom is possible. Like, that was the highlight of the message for me. Pastor was speaking from a point of the fact that Jesus has been raised as the witness of God. I mean, we've had witnesses that have been raised all through the ages of man, but the very witness of God, like Daddy has been teaching, you know, that nobody has borne witness to the very life of God. Jesus was the first person or the first man that bore witness to the very life, you know, that is in God. And Pastor was speaking about how that Jesus was able to come to that estate because he saw the Father, because he was exposed to the things of the Father, because he interacted with the substances of the Father, and then he obeyed them. And by obeying them, he became the witness of God. And Pastor gave an example to say that, for instance, maybe we're in the village, and then in that village, there's nobody that has traveled outside of the village. You know, everybody is a local, everybody. And then all of a sudden, maybe somebody comes and then picks one person and takes this person, and then this person becomes renowned in the world. That this person is standing as the possibility for all of those villagers. And really, when that kind of thing happens, when somebody in a family or somebody in a village is exalted, most times you see that it goes back to lift others. So Jesus going ahead is because he wants to also come back to lift us up. Jesus has not gone there and then he will now leave us. In fact, the reason for his going there is so that he can bring us up. Because he was God, he did not need to inherit, as it were. He was already the owner of those things. But he came and became man and went through the process of inheritance so that man can come to that estate. And Pastor was, you know, speaking on the fact that what made Jesus is the law. Is the law that was put on his inside. And recently I've read through Romans, you know. I said I was in that space where I was like asking the Lord, like, I want to see more changes. I want to live this thing you are speaking of. Let it not be a fable, you know. Peter said we have not believed cunningly devised fables. I want to see these realities in my life, you know. And I was reading through Romans 7 and I saw a man that went through struggles just as I went through struggles. I was like, oh, this thing is not peculiar to me. Struggling with sin is not peculiar to me. Like, everybody goes through that. You know, there's a way we can read the stories of the mighty men and we just feel like, oh, they walked into this thing. They didn't breeze into these things. They had struggles. Paul came to a place where he said, oh, wretched man that I am. And in another translation, he said, what an agonizing situation I am in. Like, who can save me? Who can deliver me? Then he went on to say that, thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, because in Jesus Christ, we see the law of the spirit of life, which is able to make us free from the law of sin and death. And Pastor said, don't believe the lie that you can't be free. It's a lie. It's a lie of the enemy for me to stay in a place of thinking I can't be free. Freedom is possible. And he said that, you know, somebody made the mention about how that pastors should not be fornicators. And somebody came and said, oh, don't talk like that, though. You don't know whether tomorrow, because everybody is standing by grace. Now, pastor said that is wrong. Because as a pastor, you should be able to say, I am free from this. Because when you hear such things, you feel like, ah, everybody should just be careful. We don't know the one that we'll go and enter tomorrow and not hear stories. But there's a work Jesus can do in a man. And a man will say, I am free from fornication. I cannot do it. I can't stoop that low because of the work that has been done in me. Jesus at a point was in front of a woman who was, you know, oiling his feet and rubbing her hair. And a normal man in that situation, we want to respond in a sexual manner. But Jesus did not. Jesus did not, because of a work inside of him. Pastor said that it's just like you saying that, be careful, you'll be pregnant tomorrow. That as a man, he cannot be pregnant. He doesn't have the facility to be pregnant. It's not possible. There's nothing you can do. I mean, science is even trying to bring men to that point where they can give birth, but they've not been able to achieve that. So it's not like telling him that he should now be scared. What is he being scared of? There's something inside of him that cannot just make him to give birth. So also, there's a work that Jesus can do in me, that I will stand here and I will say, I am free from this certain thing. I cannot do it because of a work that Jesus has done inside of me. And one thing that the Lord was just telling me is, can you believe? You know, they asked Jesus and they said that, what is the work of God? And they said, the work of God is that you believe. Is that you believe in the face of your struggles, believe. When those things are weighing you down and it seems like I'm not changing, you know, believe. He says Abraham hoped against hope. It means there was no hope. He came to a point where he felt like, Nkoyole Shele. Like, Sarah got to a point where she laughed and said, it's not possible. Will my Lord have pleasure in me? Can I give birth at this point? But the Lord said, your impossibilities are not greater than my possibilities. He said, these things are impossible to man, but with God, all things are possible. This sin that I see inside of me, these struggles that I see today that take me to God and I cry, one day I will stand and I will say I'm free from sin. That the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. My brethren, freedom is possible. And you know, the wonderful thing is that Pastor said, you see, the dealing with sin is just even the beginning point. Because where God is taking us to is not just that we have overcome sin. It's that we are in his image and in his exact likeness. Sin came as an interruption to the plan of God. So, in the beginning, God wasn't even dealing with sin when he was dealing with Adam and Eve. He was building them. He was raising them. Because sin now came in, there's now a dual work. While he's dealing with sin, he's also raising us. But much more than dealing with that sin and taking sin out, we will get to a point. He said that he that is born of God, he cannot. It's not that he does not. It's not that he does not. He cannot. He does not have that capacity to sin. He has been healed completely. He has been saved. And that's where God wants to bring us to. It's that place of salvation. So I was just encouraged to keep on believing. To keep on believing. When I fall, he says the righteous shall fall 7 times, but he will rise up. So I will not stay in that place of pity party and tell myself I'm not changing. okay, as I'm not saying I'm not changing, is that what will change me? No! Staying in that place will not change me. But getting up and looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. He said that the Romans came to a place where they obeyed from the heart. So the key is obedience from the heart to that form of doctrine. He says, the law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of the Spirit. Why? Because I walk in the Spirit. To those who walk not after the flesh. So there is strength. You know, there was a tongue that came and the tongue said that Jesus said, I have been given permission to save. Pastor Tosin said, it means the apostles were saying that we have something that if we give it to you, if you obey it from your heart, you will be made free. It is not a cunningly devised fable. It is something that a man has. It is something that Jesus has. When they say somebody has an antidote, you don't need to guess about it. It's not a guesswork. It's not a trial and error. This thing has been proven. This thing has been tested. This thing has worked. And it has worked not just even in the Lord Jesus. We see the apostles that were raised. We see men that have been raised through the ages. So why should it now come to my time and I feel like this thing is not powerful? No. It's a lie of the enemy. And I'm not going to believe that lie that it is not possible for you to change. It is possible for me to change. And I will be raised as Jesus was raised. Amen.
Wow. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It is possible. Say to your neighbor, it is possible. You know, can we just take a second to just think about that thing? That thing that Satan has been blasting in your face, that this one you will not escape it. This particular one, you are not going to be free. Can you look at that thing and shout, I will be free.
I will be free.
I will be free. No, even with the sun sets free, is free indeed. Hallelujah. You know, a little something, just I just remember as she was speaking. I remember when I gave my life to Christ, and you know, I was in university year one, and CGPA was looking at me. One of the things that was looking very impossible to me was how I will enter an examination hall and I will not cheat. I will not talk. I will not look at my neighbor. It looked like it was impossible. And you know, the first time the thing became very clear, that day I was like, this course, I will fail this one. It was technical drawing. You know, they will write it out and they will say you should draw it. I didn't know what I was going to draw. All I needed to do was just look at the next paper, and lo and behold, I looked and I drew it and everything. But I felt very bad on my inside. Immediately I left that hall, I felt like, why did I do this? And you know, I repented and I was like, Lord, I don't want to do this thing again. And all through, that was the last time. In fact, it got to a point, the Holy Ghost said that from now, when you want to go write an exam, go to the front, because they will ask you. So if you don't want them to ask you, just go to the front near the supervisor. And little by little, I saw myself walk out of that thing. And you know, when you look at other big things that Satan is showing you, you can never be free. It makes it look as if you cannot overcome. You cannot do without this thing. I want you to look at that thing again and say, I will be free.
I will be free.
In the name of Jesus. You know, one of the things Pastor Tosin said is that, you know, freedom from sin is not even what God planned for us. Pastor, can you push us forward, sir? Thank you.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for that day four morning session. You know, it was a lot of blessing, you know, from the, you know, the beginning of the message, you know, up to the time that Daddy came to wrap up the message. It was, you know, it was just blessings, you know, possibility, liberty, freedom. You know, the first thing that, you know, just came at me, I just took my time to listen before taking notes, just to listen. From the beginning to the very end, you know, one thing that dawned on me first, you know, is that consciousness, that awareness of the time that we have, that inclination to the time that is upon us. And God will not be speaking to us, you know, concerning the project of becoming a witness. Hallelujah. You know, according to that Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, scripture says that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. one thing Pastor Tosin said, the very first few minutes of that message, is that the project of becoming a witness is God's burden for the hand, is God's agenda for the hand. So what we roll up the hand is not, you know, where we see nations rising against nations, we see all manner of outbreak, all manner of pandemic, nations against nations, and we may want to see it, you know, as this is how God will close the age. But as I went back to listen again, you know, listen to Pastor Tosin, one thing that also dawned in my heart is that God is the one that will close the age. You know, we saw that in Hebrews chapter 1, I think verse 7, that God will fold this presence like a vesture. You know, so if God is the one that has answer to the end, you know, that means as concerning the end of the age, you know, the end of this present, it is more about God. Because Satan does not know when the end will come. But then, you know, looking at the revelation of God, that God is churning out in a season, you know, he may just be able to plot, to guess, to know, okay, is this the end? And can start throwing some tantrums, can start distraction. So there's a way I can just be looking at what is happening in the world. You know, there's a way I can just be looking at what the world is doing, what the world does, and lose sight of what God is saying, of what God is doing. So God is the one that will roll up the age. And let me say the message of the end, you know, it's not just about events. Is that a company of people will fulfill that program, that mark that God has concerning the hand. You know, I remember there was a time where we keep praying, you know, that the hand is not just about events, you know, that there's God's project, God's program, you know, for the last times. And until a body of witnesses emerge, the hand, you know, will not come. So that stood out strongly for me, that I should look more into what God is saying in this time. Should not be distracted, you know, by what is happening around me. Even some have said that some president of nation are like are the Antichrist, maybe because of how ruthless they are. You know, the Antichrist himself may not even be very ruthless to even take judgment and understanding to be able to see his operation. You know, so God, you know, speaking to us about becoming a witness is God's burden for the hand. So it dawned on me that this project, you know, of becoming a witness did not begin with what's in flex. You know, it did not begin this year, it did not begin last year. My own inclination to it, or the doctrines and commandments I need to start obeying concerning it, may begin with me this year. You know, but this project of becoming a witness is age-long in God. It's age-long in God. It's from the very beginning. You know, we saw in the order of creation, you know, from Psalms 105, you know, from the height of the angel, you know, to the level of all my soul, that all of this creation, Psalm 103 from verse 19 or verse 20, you know, they are also witnesses. You know, they are witnessing, you know, to the revelation of God that God put in them. They are witnesses to a degree from the angels that excelled in strength, that do his commandment, the ministers of his that do his pleasure, you know, to all works in all places of his dominion, you know, down to all my soul, you know, they are witnesses, and they are witnessing to a measure, you know, to a degree of the revelation. Pastor Tosin said, according to Psalm 33, that, you know, it is by breath that God made the host of heaven. So they are witnessing to a measure of breath, the revelation of God, which is a breath, is the inspiration of the Almighty God. So they are witnesses down to all my soul, said man who was made a little lower than the angel. So the agenda of God is that this man, you know, who was made little lower than the angel, said God breathed into his nostril and man became a living soul, was supposed to use that living soul estate to become the witness of the true God. He was a witness in a level. Pastor Tosin said that God's plan is that the first man, you know, Adam, from that living soul estate will journey to attain that witness of the true God, that faithful and true witness, you know, such that he will even show the angels who God really is. Because the witness of angels is limited. Though they could see a figure of God, cherubims, but they are limited. And we saw that what sin really did to Adam, that sin interrupted God's plan, that sin elongated the journey. Though Adam was without sin, right? But it was very clear that Adam was not the way God is. The fact that Adam disobeyed was a trespass, right? But the fact that he could disobey, It shows that he's not like God. Because God is not struggling to sin. God is not struggling to disobey. God cannot sin. God is in a realm of cannot. God cannot sin. God cannot lie. For the fact that, you know, Adam could still be pulled, it shows that there is still a depth. There is still a gulf between Adam, between man, you know, and God. And so God coming to fellowship with him, God coming in the cool of the day to fellowship with him. We are all part of God's projects for him to join him, to become that witness of who and what God is. So, but sin came. And so God had to deal with sin first. You know, sin first had to be dealt with. Scripture says that from Adam to Moses, sin reigned. You know, we saw some dangerous nations in Genesis. You know, Tidal, kings of nations, Kedalaoman, descendants of Ham, Canaan. They are terrible nations that sin machinated, men like Nimrod. God had to even put some of them under a curse to limit the generation, the journey into sin. You know, it says sin reigned from Adam to Moses. So the coming of the law and also the coming of the prophet, you know, they are also a witness. You know, it is to just to reduce, you know, to limit, you know, that reign of sin until that exact replicates, you know, that exact representation, you know, of God, you know, will emerge. As I wrap up, John chapter 1, you know, says that no man has seen God at any time. Said no man has seen God at any time. That means, you know, Moses in the law, Moses said he saw God, you know, he saw God face to face. Also in the prophets, they saw a symbol of God, they saw a figure of God. Even the angels as a figure of God, but no man has seen God. That means seeing God is not just seeing figure. It means it's not seeing figure. Jesus, in the days of his flesh, went through a process, you know, such that he had an understanding of God that angels do not have. He had an understanding of God that the law and the prophet could not. The witness was high, was strong, you know, but they were men with dead spirits. And so if I am to attain, you know, to become the witness that Jesus bore in the days of his flesh, you know, that means I must follow Jesus. I must follow Jesus. And, you know, it will start first, you know, by Jesus, you know, dealing with things. Sin must be dealt with. Sin is a law. Sin is a code that man must run. It's a law of the sin, of law of sin and death. So if I will not run the course of sin, then another law must be given. That Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Said they walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life, that we call this the law of spirit life, you know, or the spiritual law in Christ Jesus, had made me free from the law of sin and death. So if I will be free from the law of sin and death, then a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus must be enacted in me. You know, I will use the word and abuse it until I have another law on my inside. You know, that scripture in that 2 Corinthians chapter 7 that says using the word and not abusing it, that is using the word and not depending on it. How did Jesus did it in the days of his flesh? Though he was in the word, he was using the word, but he was not subjected by the power of the law. He was not under the force of the law. He was not engrossed by the word because there was a work that was done in him. You know, doctrine of Christ, Jesus did it. Jesus obeyed all of these commandments. He was constantly, you know, following the Father. As the Father was measuring that commandment to him, you know, he was obeying commandments, you know, to the point where he became a faithful and a true witness. The reason why I'm a follower of Jesus is not to better my life in the natural. I know we have added over the time, but can it make a new meaning to us? You know, can it make a new meaning to me? That the reason why I'm born again is not to better my life in the natural. It's for me to become a witness. To become a witness. That means God's definition of fulfillment is anti the world's definition of fulfillment. It means that if I end up not having certain things that the world has judged as parameters, you know, for our achievement, if I can become a witness to God, I am fulfilled. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Wow. Thank you so much, Pastor Shea. That was apt. The work God is doing in this last time is that he is raising witnesses. Can we welcome Pastor Femi as he blesses us tonight?
Amen. Good evening to all of our pastors, all our daddy, all our mommy. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pastor Dayo. Sister, he really combed the entire team. Pastor Sheyi has emphasized the art of the ministration from Pastor Tosin on that final day. I feel the ministration was quite, very emphatic, with that shout, "I can be free." You know, that ministration is a testament to how there is no soul that God in the Son has not paid the token of freedom for. There is absolutely no soul. Even if what you are dealing with is hellish, he went to hell. Jesus has an antidote to hell. And that's why all the apostles who saw him, who knew him, who encountered him by the spirit of revelation, who were given that trust, each time they write to the church, they were not writing from a beggarly standpoint. These things write we unto you that you sin not. Simple. So John knew that if you engage this thing I write, it has the power to make you sin not. So they were not shady. They were not testing. He said, he has delivered unto you that form of doctrine. Pastor was saying that they know the form. They know it is not square. They had the entire form that they can deliver, to a soul to ensure that the soul is saved. And I felt that was really quite, striking. And my cry from that message, like Sister Yin mentioned, is just that I can be free. And freedom may not start from the peak of it. Many times when something stare at you and it looks like you cannot be free, many times, yeah, mama, we always say that my experience with the Lord, you see how the Lord has delivered you from this. There was a season where lying looked like what you cannot be free from, but today you are free. There was a season where stealing meat, stealing money, maybe what you are struggling with, but today money is not even a temptation. Don't think because you have gone past it, it is like that for all men. No matter how pressed you are for transport fare, you can't steal your brethren's money. It's a freedom. It's a walk. It's not everybody that is like that. It may be a little freedom. So when something stares at you and they are saying at you as though they are so lionic, you have testimony of freedoms. You have journeys of freedoms. You have to recount progression. God who took me out of my father's house. God who took me out of this. David, when he was facing Goliath, he went back to freedoms. How he delivered me from the bear. How he delivered me from the lion. So even when you are fellowshipping with some freedom that you feel like, but there's eternal freedom to still enter into, you can still celebrate your Christ freedom because you know it is a testimony. It speaks louder to you that God can set a man free. And the beautiful thing Pastor said concerning the liberty that the faithful and true witness our Lord Jesus came into is that he was not saved like John the Baptist. He was saved as a carpenter. He was saved as a carpenter. God did not arrange anything so sophisticated, separate from what he has arranged around me or what he has arranged around you. It will interest you to know that Jesus had the same kind of pressure we had. Pastor was laying emphasis as to how that Jesus was free. He was raised a witness as a man. He had the same kind of pressure you have. Are you pressed? Jesus was pressed. God did not specially create an environment. For John, they took him to the wilderness. He ate honey, wild locusts. Many of us cannot relate with that. But you can relate with being a banker. You can relate with being a tech person. You can relate with being a trader. You can relate with being a carpenter. No wonder when you read Psalm 23, when they were talking about how the Lord prepared that man for presence, he said, the Lord prepared a table. I thought it's bread you will prepare. You prepare rice, you prepare bread, but the psalmist said, no, bread is a little thing, word, doctrine. God has a commitment to us to give us doctrine. God has a commitment to us to give us a revelation of the person of Jesus. But David said, you prepared a table in the face of enemies. Who makes a table is a carpenter. Jesus can carpentize your soul and prepare you as a table in the face of enemies. Yes, enemies of corruption, enemies that you've struggled with for 3 years, just come to be carpenter because they saved him as a carpenter. So when you give him wood, he knows how to make a furniture out of it. When you give him wood, he knows how to create what God can sit on. He can raise a tabernacle out of wood. No wonder when they came to that place of witness, they call that in the ark of testimony. It was made out of wood because it was made by a carpenter. That's why sometimes when we go through seasons, you know, where it's just like you're a wood. Don't worry. Just ensure you're with the carpenter. He knows how to treason you, yeah? You might be going through some discomfort, but that's Jesus building you as a carpenter because he was saved as a carpenter. You know, it would have been easy to understand that John is a prophet, but they say, is this not the carpenter? Is this not the son of a carpenter? So everything they saw about him was ordinary, but out of that ordinary, something eternal was being built. So for me, it was a confidence that out of my ordinary Monday, my ordinary Tuesday, my ordinary Wednesday, my ordinary Thursday, God is building something eternal in me. He may chisel me a little. Sometimes when you want to build something beautiful, you may have to break the wood. When you see the wood, you won't think anything beautiful can come out of it. But don't worry, a carpenter of salvation is working on you. He knows how to join wood to wood. By the time we are fully built, God will seal a table that he has prepared. A table that he can showcase to enemies. You know, Pastor Tosin painted a prophetic story, you know, concerning Goliath and David. You know, how that Goliath was a representation of Jesus. You know, who kept coming out. You know, sometimes your infirmity will be coming out to you. You are leaving church on Sunday, the infirmity will just come by you. As they are ministering word of life, infirmity is ministering to you that you were here 2 years ago. You've fallen under the anointing. You've believed the word. But yeah, we are still together. I'm stuck with you. Right? Goliath kept coming out daily. They called them army, but they were being defied, you know, until David rose up, you know, until, and Pastor said that thing you saw concerning David and Goliath is the same thing you see. Actually, that was just Satan making a boast. You know, sometimes Satan makes a boast over our lives. Was it a place in Proverbs 27? Scripture says, it says, my son, be wise and make my heart glad. He said that I may answer him that reproach me. There is a reproach that Satan is submitting concerning us in presence. Say, my son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer who? Him. Pastor Tosin was saying that voice of Goliath is the voice of Satan. You know, like, bring me a man. God showcased Abraham. God started working on Abraham, a man who was ready to perish. And they kept talking to him, ministering to him, leading him, raising him. Until at a time, God said concerning a man, say, I know Abraham. What? God can say, I know a man. Normally, he does not commit himself to any man. But a man who was ready to perish came under the carpentry work of God until he became a friend. God knew that this one, because of the kind of carpentry work we've done on him, he can also raise an household. How do you build a house? With furniture, with wood, right? He said, I know Abraham. But Pastor said that was not even a perfect witness. What God was doing with them was he was keeping some testimony of order. No, it's the order of Melchizedek. It's not the real thing, but they were able to keep an order. But God succeeded with Jesus. You know, Satan was roaring for thousands of years. Sin was reigning. Pastor Shea said, sin reigned. That sin reigning is not just what was happening on the earth. In the spirit, sin was making a boast that man cannot be raised a witness. But Jesus came under a wisdom. He said, my son, be wise. That means Jesus came under a wisdom. What was that wisdom? Doctrine. He obeyed doctrine. He said, if any man will do his will, he must know of the doctrine. Jesus kept obeying doctrine from the heart. That was the secret. And Pastor said, that's the secret that everyone must learn to engage. Jesus also obeyed doctrine. He said, I can do nothing but that which I see my father do. What was he obeying? Doctrine. There were many things he could do, but he kept himself under the constraint of doctrine. The same way there are forms of doctrine. Those things that are being delivered to us by our parents, the constant labor, Sazama, it is potent enough to save me. I don't need anything more than the doctrine I'm hearing. What I need is to be wise. He said, my son, be wise. How will I show I am being wise? Use doctrine. How will I show that I am being wise? Engage doctrine from the heart. Because wisdom is of the heart. Wise-heartedness. Those that use wood to build tabernacle, what God gave them was wisdom. He said he has blessed Bezahil with the spirit of wisdom. Because when building as a witness is to be done, wisdom must be engaged. And I believe the Lord, you know, has given us that provision of doctrine in the house. There is enough bread in the house.
When it comes to preparation of bread, we have it by the mercies of Jesus. And Jesus will give us more. He will keep raining doctrine upon doctrine upon doctrine, life, precept, life, conversation, precept. But we will have grace to be wise. Can we say how we have grace to be wise? Sometimes Satan wants to make a mockery, you know, of doctrine as though doctrine is nothing. But he knows that it is something. So let's be wise and engage that form of doctrine that has been delivered to us. Thank you so much, sir.
Amen. That was profound. Can we just appreciate our reviewers? That was very, very profound. We give praise to Jesus. Thank you so much. Lord, we thank you for mercy. We give you praise. We bless your name because you will help us this evening. You will strengthen us. You will strengthen me. You will help me to bring forth your thoughts. Bless my thought and meditation. Bless me, Father. Bless me. Bless me. Bless us. Come to us. Help me, Father. Help me in the name of Jesus. Let me speak as I ought to speak. Let me draw strength from you and inspiration from you. Let me align orderly and conduct myself properly in the house of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, just to buttress what you know, all the reviewers said, you see, there's a way God can raise a man over sin. A man, all the illustration they gave about ability to raise you. You don't have the facility to sin. It's actually possible. We do not only see it in our Lord Jesus. When you see people who are pious, they have a form of religiosity, but there's no power. Our Lord Jesus, what he became, even in himself, Jesus grew. Jesus died. He said Jesus rose and Jesus was made. I now understood why Satan, with all of his wisdom, could not decode Jesus. Satan could not decode what a man is. He grew and he died and became a sacrifice. You know, that sacrifice that Satan took, Satan did not know that what a man custod. Life is custod in the blood. Record is custod in blood. You see that blood? Satan just thought that it was a son of man. But he didn't know that blood he had all. There was a lot inside that blood. God can make man. You see, one of the things that the Lord has been declaring to us is that God can make us to be witnesses. I want to show us a scripture. 1 Corinthians 6. You know, I've never seen it like that. You know, when we teach about, you know, works of the flesh, uncleanliness and all that, there's a way it can be foreign to you. For an instance now, you think gay is new. No, it's not recent. And that's why a believer ought not to be shocked. It happened in the former world that they burnt. Now, guess what? Even in Paul's time, read that 1 Corinthians 6 from verse 9. Amplified will give you what this Corinthians church was. You know, we always talk about Corinthians church is problematic church. We do not know their problem. We are more problem, Tony. We say, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit or have a share in the kingdom of God? Just a bit of introduction. Paul was talking about the issue of a brother taking a brother to court. You know, he now says, neither the what? Sexual what? Immoral? Nor what? Idolaters? Nor what? Adulterers? Nor what? Feminate by passion is the female aspect of homosexual people. Then not those who participate in what? Sexuality. Nor what? Thieves? Only. And robber. Nor what? The greedy? Nor what? The drunkards? Nor what? Revilers? Whose words are used as weapons to abuse, insult, humiliate, intimidate, or slander. He said, no swindlers. We inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. Now, this is not what busts my mind. This was what busts my mind. Can we read it together? As such, were some of you before what? But you were washed by the atoning sacrifice of Christ. You were sanctified and set apart for God and made holy. You were justified, declared free of guilt. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit of God, the source of the believer's new life and changed behavior. God's people, Paul was not an ordinary person. What did Paul have that he could preach a people? They say, as such were some of you. You don't understand. You know, when we read Corinthians, we just think that they used to murmur. They used to complain. No, this was their former address. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Almost every Iwavuruku is cataloged in this place. You can draw your inference from which one is your shade. But they said that some people, that was their former address. He said you were washed. You don't understand. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. The same name you and I believe. And by the Spirit of our God, what God cannot do does not exist. A life that God cannot change does not exist. If that life is persuaded, it does not exist. I can never believe you more than I believe what God can do. Your record of where you are coming from is too small and does not exist in the dictionary of eternity of what God can do. Because what God can do is not now. You know, that's what I say. What God wants to do is not sin and death. It's not to deliver you. This was not it. It's to give you an inheritance. Incorruptible. Undefiled. That what? Faded not away. It also has a residence. That residence is not where? In heavenly what? Places. God will raise ministers. Amen. God will raise ministers. Amen. How did Paul get the Corinthians church to this? You know, that's why gospel is foolishness. Paul, the only thing he was in our gospel. Now gospel. You don't be surprised at some of the names he was acknowledging. That was their former address. He said you were washed. You know, when God washes a soul that is coming from mud, you can't even smell it. That word washes a soul. You know, the reason why you can still trace your former, when I say former address, that is all the things that you used to, or the bad things you used to do, you know. You see, when the word washes you, we can't even smell it from you. Because the fragrance we get from you is the fragrance of the Lord. You know, what did they say happened to these people? You mean Paul had what to detonate homosexuality? Sexual perversion. I say, let me tell you, the sexual perversion you are thinking of now, sexual perversion of the ancient, oh bad gang. Paul, in fact, you call them barbarians. Very bad. But a people can actually be free. And Paul was writing to them. The Corinthians was a church. He was writing to them. He was writing to them. So, that you can be free is not a cliche. These are evidence. If you want evidence, this one are evidence. So, if you choose not to be free, these are cloud of witnesses that we ask, how did you do it? Praise God. Amen. You see, being a witness, all the things that we are hearing, one of the things it must do is to make us. If you look at yourself, just see, they want to make me and you. So all of that is to make us witnesses. Now, God is not in the business of raising men that will be raised because of what they see. He called it eyewitnesses. Already, 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18, he said that which is seen are temporary, while that which is what? Unseen is what? Eternal. So the reason why God will not raise witnesses based on what you can see is because it is temporary. When God wants to make what is solid, he has to take things from the invisible. Like the properties of Christ are properties that it is from the world to come. You see this Christ that we think Christ. It is the foundation of the world to come. You don't find it in this heaven that people go to, saints go to when they die. It is fetched out to start as a foundation. Because the first set of people God must raise as witness is witnesses of men who have embodied Christ. Now, you see, do you know that just to talk in passing, many of us, we still know ourselves after the flesh. You know, the sin of sin finish is a sin that will never raise witness. Why? Because we need to discern one another every day. Any relationship you don't discern, you can't get all the best in that relationship. You can take it to the bank and bank it. If you are married to your husband and say, Shebi is my husband, and you don't step back and look at him again, and to discern how God has placed him, as a wife, they have not cursed you, but you cannot until you repent and discern again. The same thing with brotherhood. You know, one of the things I thought about, God does not want to only raise eyewitnesses. God wants to raise witnesses of life. Isn't that 1 John 1:1? Is it that which you have heard, that which you have seen? The sin that John is talking about is not sin of the high. He was not talking about the sighting of Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus, the man of Galilee. Because what he was saying, he said, of the word of life. Because somebody can say, and you said he doesn't want to raise witnesses, you know. Although eyewitnesses is strong, because Peter was saying it, that we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. But however, you know that Jesus, in the days of his flesh, do the maths. 4,000 was fed. 5,000 was fed. There were people that followed Jesus. Do you know there was a time when Jesus said, he was praying. Bible says a voice answered that said, I have glorified him. I said some people heard. People saw Lazarus come back to life. They saw how Jesus said, Lazarus, come back to life. In fact, the following chapter, he even went to eat with Lazarus. So Lazarus coming to life was not a fluke. People saw the lame walk. People saw the blind do what? See. People saw all these things. Those people were eyewitnesses. But how did they profit with it? Yet they still crucified the King of Kings. Yet they still did not believe on him. Are you understanding? Why we cannot stay with being an eyewitness? Jesus did not do miracle in the secret. Even when he tell people, don't tell anybody, they will still go and tell people. What happened to the crowd? I think somewhere in John it says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believe not on him. You see why you must not believe things just because you can see. Hey, in this kingdom, the more you look, the less you see. You see, if you are a believer, that what gives validation to you is only what you can see. The proof that you are serving God. You know, people say, something happened to you. Yes, I serve a living God. If something good does not happen to you, are you still serving a living God? So these people saw Jesus, but yet they were eyewitnesses. They saw it, but yet how did they profit? They say crucify the Lord. They say shouted, crucify him. So you and I cannot stay in that account of being what? Eyewitness. We cannot, even you know the 12, you know, they had to be encountered again. Of how you know they were encountered, read the epistle now. You know that what they were preaching was not eyewitness account. They were preaching about another encounter of what they saw. No wonder Jesus said, I think John 20, he said, blessed is the, when he was talking about Thomas. So Thomas, he said, you know when they said Jesus rose, he said, they told him that Jesus rose. He said, until I put my hands, you don't understand, except I shall see in his hands, you know, the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of what? The nails, and thrust my hand through his side. You know, when they pierced Jesus, that piercing, he put a hole. Oh, if we encounter Jesus, that hole is still there. If you look at his hand, it's still there. It did not heal. He told him, oh yeah, Thomas, come and put your hand. To tell you now, even with his glorified body, put your hand, put it there. You know, and trust it, and be not what? Faithless. You see, one of the things, being an eyewitness, what is attacked is faith. But what? Believe. Then Jesus now say blessed. Blessed is what? That have not what? But yes, me and you are blessed though. That we are even born again. By blessing. I did not see Jesus in the flesh, but I believed him. I have a blessing. There's one foundational blessing you have. That you believe. If Jesus said you are blessed, you are blessed. Blessed is they that do not what? He thank God he didn't even say blessed is he. He said they. They that is akpo. Blessed is they, because Jesus knew there will be many days that will not see, but yet what? Believe. You are blessed. So when they say your blessing is not just somebody is declaring over you. Blessing, yeah, only foundation. Foundation of believing. So you see, this thing that's, you look for validation because of what you see. God doesn't want to raise that kind of witness. So God wants to raise witnesses that will believe him. That will believe him by just what you have heard. You know, some of us, we look for closure in the visible. The word of God is not enough to satisfy you. Nothing should happen to you that the word cannot satisfy you. Something happened to you, the word of God. If God said, blessed is it that give you comfort, you believe it. That is one of the things, how you not be eyewitness. Because the witnesses God wants to raise, it's not a witnesses of people that have seen. It's people that have been made. Paul, did not see Jesus of Nazareth. They say he saw a light that was brighter than the noonday. What kind of a light is that? He did not see an image. Oh, you know, some of us, the image of Jesus of Nazareth, some people even have it in their parlor as a frame. That's not Jesus. That image has put people in trouble. That evil spirits have possessed the image. They will not say, I saw Jesus. You know, and then it shocked you that, Jesus appeared to. Excuse me, Jesus does not have to appear to you for you to believe him. You can believe his word. You see all those things about seeing, I need to see. No, you know when they were talking about the account of see, you see through the word. When they preach word, you see, many of us, you know what they were teaching about, you can be free. You have not seen your freedom. When you hear gospel, you will see your freedom. You will see yourself free. You see, I always tell people recent time, and I know that there's a version of this Modupe that I have not encountered. Version Yoshi was hidden. But you see, as she grows, and I'm saying now, better begin to see yourself in the world to come. That is the real seeing. You begin to see freedom. You know, there's a way you can keep saying death. No, begin to see yourself free. That's the vision. Not that you will come and then, you know, some of us, we are still waiting for an encounter. That you see one revelation that you are tied up in a prison. And one man will come and will now open the prison door. My dear, Satan will keep you in a loophole. You will never break free. Praise the name of Jesus. So he said, he saw above brightness of the sun shining around me more than the noonday. So Paul, his encounter of Jesus. So when Paul, you need to listen to Paul. You need to listen to him. When he's telling you about Ephesians 1, that your eyes of understanding being enlightened, he came into that experience. He's not psyching us. Because that was how we knew the Lord. We do know that even when Paul was teaching about the testament of the communion, he was not at that communion. Paul taught us the testament of communion by understanding, by revelation of the person our Lord Jesus became.
Bright, shine bright. I'm not see to come near to see a take away blindness, take away that wrong way of seeing me. Oh, for there is a manner to see me. There is a way I've ordained for to be made manifest. There is a way you ought to see me. There is a channel through which you should see me. There is a manner for which I ought to be unveiled. There is a manner for which you ought to know me. Not after your eyes, not after the scene of your eyes. Oh, I want to take away blindness. I want to take away the way of blindness, the manner of blindness that he has even caught you in, even that he has even made you to be bound in. I want you to see the way I want you to see. I want you to see with the eyes of faith. I want you to see from within. I want you to see me. I want to see me true. I want you to see me true. So I'm opening eyes. I'm opening eyes within. Even that understanding shall be given. Understanding will come alive. Oh, great men. men and women of understanding would arise. Would arise. They will not be tossed to and fro. They will not be tossed to and fro. They shall not be deceived, for they have seen me. They have seen me. And they know me. They know me. And even they embody me. Oh, mia papa radina siya fene kiasa. Oh, I'm being made known. Even through the corridor of revelation. Even I'm revealing. Stay in the house. Stay in the house of knowing. Stay in the house of understanding. Stay. And I'll take away your blindness, say the Spirit of God.
Amen. Amen. The Lord will take blindness away from us. You see, some of us, is that sin that has not allowed us to progress. I know people that the story of their Christian faith in the past is one of the reasons why they can't move forward. You know, it is wrong that the only story you can talk about is your past. They say the enemy of the future is the past. Do you know that the law of Moses was a veil to the children of Israel? See all what that happened to them. See all the orishirishi. You will know that human nature is human nature. And you know, all the experience of the law, they ate manna. You don't understand. They ate manna. Their sandal, their clothes grew with them. It's in scripture. They did not fall sick for 40 years. Their shoe was growing with them. That's why, you see, you can't wow an Israelite with all this skinny. They have their own sign that they look out for you to claim that you are something. But you see, that same law became a veil to them. That law could not profit them. Do you know what happened? Prophets, say prophets. Those prophets that we read in the Old Testament, they were not part of those that left Egypt. But what those prophets knew by just vision, by encounter. You see how they could know God more than the children of Israel that were eyewitnesses. You don't understand? They could know, they could see the documents of the prophets. And yet, how many thousands left? Yet, it could not profit them with anything. 1 Corinthians 10. He said they drank, they did this, they drank of the rock. But yet, with many, he was not pleased with them. Because people, are there things that makes you think you're an eyewitness? It might even be your encounter with God. You know, there are some people that their encounter, their vision, I saw this, you know, is already an insignia. It's something that is a barrier to how you cannot continue and journey with God. You cannot immerse yourself into doctrine and instruction that is given into the house because an angel appeared to you or because you heard a voice. You are still an eyewitness. So God doesn't want to raise just eyewitnesses. God wants to raise men and women that can witness to a life. You see, and the foundation of witness to that life, now faith, now believe. Say believe. You see, that believing is on you. You know, whenever the Bible talks about believe, it says believe. They say it as if it is in you. They say it as if you are the one. They don't tell. Have you ever read when they say, I will help you believe? They give it as an instruction. Because believe is being. It comes from your being. They say be and live. They say believe. It comes from, it's you. And why you think that I cannot believe, can be, but you can believe that as you are walking on this ground, it's not cave out. See, you all sat on this chair. How come you don't have this belief that this chair will give out? What is your proof? What is your proof that this ground will not open up? What's your proof that this ceiling will not fall down? That means that there's a measure of belief that each one actually have. But things that will not make us believe the things of God is this world, though. Because I did a meditation on good. This good. You know, good used to be like an English. You know, those Macmillan English. You know, it looks like just an easy word. But you see that good is not far from God. You know, you see that being good is not far from what? Godliness. And one of the things that will start making us a good witness is spiritual understanding, which was quite very clear. And 1 Timothy 6:12. It says, fight a good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, where also thou art called and hast professed a what? Good profession. Before many witnesses. And when you say good, good is not only a behavior. Good is actually a character. Good is actually what you possess. Good is not only what you do. Good is who you are. You can't talk about good if uncleanliness and filthiness still exist. Anything that still has filthiness and uncleanliness is not good. So we can see that at the introduction of Genesis 1, he said, and he saw that it was what? It was good. One translation said that good meant pleasure. He saw that it could give pleasure. You see, filth and uncleanness will never make you give pleasure. You can never come into that category of giving pleasure. And one instruction about filth, 2 Corinthians 6, was, he said what? Wherefore, come out from among them. And do what? See the Lord God. And touch not what? The unclean is what will bring filth. And he said, I will receive you and you will be a father unto me and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So, for God to receive anything, the thing must be good. And if there's uncleanliness, that thing cannot be received. Because in this season, we must pay attention to being good. You know, 2 Corinthians 7, 1 said, he said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit and perfecting holiness in fear of God. In the season of Christ, one of the things they deal with is unclean lips. He said, me, I'm dealing with unclean people. When the light shone up him, bam, spiritual understanding. He said, no, say, undone, unclean. He said, I am undone. That undone means I am not done. I am not yet good. Because I am a man of what? Unclean lips. So, one of the things that will not make you good is unclean lips. He said, I dwell in the midst of people of what? Unclean lips. Me and you, we dwell in the midst of what? Unclean lips. He said, for my eyes have seen. Because you see, what sight should make you to see is to begin to see things that will not make you good. You cannot talk about being good if the issue of lips, say lips, this lips, this mouth. You know, look at your body now. The only thing that brings out sound is through your mouth. Through your mouth. And James 3, he said, you know when he was quantifying that he's so small, like a rudder, a little member, yet it is fire. I believe one thing the Lord wants us to come into is governance. Say governance.
Governance.
Governance of our mouths. Because the bulk of uncleanliness that makes us not good is our mouth. Oh, you know, you might say, me, I'm quiet. This doesn't apply. It applies to you. Because when it comes to sound, sound starts from within. Can we read it? Fornication and what? All uncleanness and what? Covetousness. Let it not be named one among you as becometh what? Saints. Neither filthiness, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. English has taught us when they say neither nor, they are comparing. So when they are talking of filthiness, they turn it to what you are saying. If me and you can master this, goodness is in view. Let's see amplified. So that you can read this. He said, but sexual immorality. He said, and all moral impurity. Offensive behavior or what? Ojukokoro must not be entered at among you as is proper among saints. For as believers, our way of life, whether in public or in private, reflect the validity of our faith. Therefore, no filthiness and silly talk or quacks, obscene or vulgar joking. Because such things are not appropriate for believers, but instead speak your thankfulness to God. Read it in Message 3-4. He said, don't allow love to turn into lust, setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, or bullying greed. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. You see, there are some jokes that we think you are joking. You think it's just loose talk. These are the things that bring filth to you. Honestly, and this thing, what I just saw is that may God give us wisdom. You know what they call filths? Have you seen filth? You know, filth might not look like serious death or when something has filth, it's unclean. So one of the things God expects is that we must become clean in our mouth. You see this thing about mouth, Ephesians 4:29. Because you wonder why epistles took time to talk about talking. You wonder how talking has to do with salvation. But they are telling us that you cannot come to a measure of salvation called good that is necessary to be received if you don't address this. Let's read this in Amplified. Do not let what? Awesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth. But only such speech as is good for building up others according to the needs and the occasion, so that it will be a blessing to those who hear you speak. Message reads it like this. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word should be a gift. Audit your words. How has your word be a blessing today? Have you said some profound things? You know, some of us even use swear words. You know, you might not know that words are powerful. You won't know that even those words that were said over you, you too, you use it. Why you know you use it is when you are angry. Then you now start hearing them. You yourself be wondering, excuse me, this is not my syllable. This is not my syllable. They didn't teach me this in the classroom. Where did it come from? Vulgar words. Some of us, because you are gisting with friends, you just want to feel among. So they know that you too, you have the latest term. Do you know that it's not every trend that you must say? Do you know there are vulgar words? You know, we're saying that this world, that is language. You know, we're amazed that Gen Z, they have their language, just like Babylon, right before our eyes. We're watching one video, a Gen Z was talking. They needed a translator to explain. And you know, some of us, we think it's fun. One area this world cultivates is language. That's why when God was going to scatter Babylon, he went straight for language. You might think that words are harmless, but they are not harmless. Because people, some of us, we even say it to our families, to our spouses, our children. We say it to people. Many of us are not even saying this, we are murmuring it. You know, you might even think you are trying to, you know, blend among, but you don't know that this thing is denying you to come into an estate called good. When they talk about filthiness of lips, it's not only those words. They are also the place of murmur. Say murmuring. He read that 1 Corinthians. He said, neither let us tempt Christ. He said, and we're destroyed as serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured, and we're destroyed by... You see, you know what they were murmuring about was a genuine need. They were thirsty. They were hungry. It was genuine. You can actually have genuine need. And you are murmuring. They said, not such things should come out, but rather the giving of thanks. You know, Peter said, with all prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. You see, all this murmuring thing, Philippians 2, 14 to 15. You say, do all things without what? And disputing, that you may be? And harmless. Sons of God, without what? Are you now seeing why you are still blameful? When you are saying, when will I get there? The reason is because you still carry murmuring as your address. He said, with all prayer and what? Supplication. Make your request known to God. If you are not making your request known to God, what you are doing is murmuring. When will I get my job? I've been on this job. Murmuring. Jude 1:16. Please, we'll read it in KJV and Amplified. He says, these are murmurers, complainers. When you are murmuring, there's something that is programming you. Now you're lost. You're lost of I want to marry. You say, and their own mouth speaketh what? Great swelling words. Having men's person in admiration because of what? Advantage. Read it in Amplified. You say, these people are habitual. Some of us are habitual murmurers. You know, you can go through a process and you are murmuring. I don't have a job. I don't have this. Why is this happening to me? Why is this? One thing that knowledge must do to us is to give us an understanding. The prayer, God, I want to be good. One of the answered prayer is for us to have understanding. He says, following after their own desire, controlled by passion. So, the controller of murmurers is passion. If the Lord is saying that murmuring can make you blameful, then you need to pay attention. They are not joking. When you murmur, you are not governed by the Spirit. You know, murmuring is a confession. Though it might be legitimate. He said, when you look at what happened to the 10 spies, what they saw, was it correct? The Anakins, were they as big as giants? But you see, you murmur because you don't have sight. Because you don't have understanding of who sent you. It's because we don't understand calling. that you will murmur through a process. And can you take a step back and look at process you have murmured your way out of? Audit your life now. How you went through things, and the only thing you can say that, I was murmuring. Those were opportunities for you to have acquired for yourself an estate. You see why the journey of salvation is prolonged. When somebody say, when will we become saved? It's me and you that is doing it now. As long as we still carry the basia of murmuring, the basia of our words. You know, the Bible talks about, let your words be seasoned with grace, so that you may answer every man. I always tell people that, I said there's a way to answer every man. I'm telling you, every man has an answer. You can see it's now our Lord Jesus. He said, let your word be seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer what? Every man. There's a way to answer every man. There's a way somebody can send you missile, and you don't have to respond with missile. You can respond with a detonator. You can. We must learn to perfect our words. Godliness is a self-governed life. It's a life that your mouth is not outside the governance of the Spirit of God. Many of us, we live as if our mouth or Holy Ghost leading and dealing that they are teaching us is outside of it. Everything you must answer is not just totally bad. Just know that me and you, when we do that, we are denying ourselves of coming to an estate called good that will cause us to be received. What is the way out? Because James chapter 3 from 2 to 12 was telling us the evil of the mouth. He said, with the mouth, evil and good. He said, that ought not to be so. Meaning that in the beginning, it was not so. The mouth was not given to be a source of that which is evil and corrupt. It was supposed to be able to fount just one thing. He said, out of the mouth, blessing and curse. In this same mouth, my brethren, he said, these things ought not to be so. So I was not like, so all this thing that you have now told us about the now, what is the way forward? Then the Lord now said, go and read it now. Continue. James 3:13. He said, who is a wise man? He said, who is a wise man? Endued among you. Let him show what? A good conversation. His works with meekness of what?
Wisdom.
You know that Colossians we read, that Colossians 4 I was talking. If you read it from verse 5, he says, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time, then let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ought to answer every man. So wisdom is a necessary tool. So when you were quoting that Bezalel, I just saw that spiritual understanding gives us wisdom. There's a way you apply it. There's a wisdom to answer that you say, who is wise? Because people, anytime you answer in a wrong way, you are wise. He said, who is wise among you? Endued with what? Endued with knowledge. One thing our knowledge must do, must to give us wisdom for to answer. Wisdom of speech. Can we have households where we will not have harsh words? Among husband and wives, among brethren. You know, there are some households that sometimes you are not speaking any words, but you are speaking many words. You know, you can have tension and quietness in the house, but yet, the words that are reeling out. Some people have mastered not to speak, but to also default into malice. Malice is also a kind of word. Actions speak louder than words. There are some action that you do that you are actually calling the person a foolish person. Have you not read this proverb that say, silence is the best answer for a fool? So silence can equate to an answer. When the Bible is quantifying who is wise, Jesus described who is wise. Matthew chapter 7. He said, a wise man builds his house upon the rock. And then what? A foolish man does what? Pull upon the sand. They now went to meet Jesus. He said, who is wise? He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do. And do. So what makes you wise is what you are hearing and you are doing. The reason why you lack the ability to have a wholesome conversation is because you are not doing. You may be hearing, but you are not doing. In recent time, I've come to see that doing is actually strength. Do you know the reason why many of us lack strength? I want to be free. Why you may not be free is because you are not doing. Instructions that come through knowledge, you are not doing. So when Jesus is looking at a wise man, he's looking at hearing and he calling it to, and now say you are wise. He's not saying, who is wise among you? Endued with knowledge. That is, if you are hearing and you are doing, and you have knowledge of where you are going to, actually, you must, all of us, our words should be gracious. That means in this local assembly, Lord's Church, One thing they must cleanse our heavens from is for wrong words. Can we have a victory? How many of us have that longing that as a Lost Hill church, oh, not only in church, in our homes, even when nobody is there in your office, your words will be wholesome. It will be gracious. You will speak blessing and not curse. See all the conductors you have cursed. See all the people that you have cheated you that you have cursed. Don't you think your blessing them would have actually started them a journey of salvation? The reason why some reactions, what you have brought forth from your mouth is curse. It's because there has not been an application. God wants witnesses. I don't know about you, but you see, if there's anything God is very emphatic about, he wants to raise witnesses. Now, you see, the ability to raise, God has it. But you see, the beings or the creatures that will be raised, they need to examine themselves. So that the supply he has brought to raise them, they will apply themselves to it. Now that's my prayer, that I want to be good, God. I want to be good. Bible talks about Barnabas as a good man. Bible talks about Joseph the Arimathea as a good man. And there were things they do. There's a place in Proverbs that says, a good man brings out of his treasure. They said a good man has his ways. He said the ways of a good man are ordered by God. See, God's people, there are many things that me and you are the ones delaying ourselves from coming into. May God come to us. But if there's anything that I think we should spend time is to begin to ask that filth and uncleanness will be purged from our lips in the name of Jesus. Can we begin to respond to God?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.losthillchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.